Freshborg, it was part of the course. In Freshborg also, they had a requirement that it was a licensed school. It was a licensed school by the Austro-Hungarian Empire. In other words, it was under the Minister of Education of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And under the law of the Minister of Education, the school required 4 grades, we would call it high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and required secular studies to be taught. The secular studies were not taught in the yeshiva, but there was a Jewish school in Freshborg with religious teachers that taught secular studies, and which the students attended and took exams. Now, because it was an official school of the Austro-Hungarian government, the exams in the yeshiva were given under the direction of a representative of the Ministry of Education of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, usually a non-Jew who knew no Talmud and knew no Hebrew, but he sat there. Now, he describes here that there were the three heads of the yeshiva and this non-Jew from the Ministry of Education sat like on a platform, and the bechinos, the exams were administered orally, and each one of them gave a mark. So he writes here in one of his, he has a million anecdotes in this book, but he has one of the anecdotes is that there once was a student who came completely unprepared in Talmud, and he didn't know what to answer, and he didn't know anything, and he wanted to get his degree. So whatever the rabbis asked him, he said one of the verses of Ashrei. He didn't know anything, so he said Ashrei Yoshev. He said the whole Ashrei for them. So the three rabbis failed him, and the Minister of Education passed him with an outstanding mark because he saw that he answered so quickly and so well and with such enthusiasm. But again, it's unthinkable under the Russian government in Volozhin or in any of the yeshivas that you would have a minister of education, a representative of the Ministry of Education present, and that he would sit in on the bechinas. It's just unthinkable. Whereas in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, that was normal. And the Chasam Sofer was so recognized by the empire and the emperor that the rabbis in the communities needed a letter from him certifying that they were rabbis. And he has here, interestingly enough, I just hold it up for you for a moment, the letter written in German or in Hungarian, which were the two official languages, and signed Moses Schreiber with his seal that said that so-and-so is a legitimate rabbi. If you didn't have that letter, then you weren't. A fact which the Reform and Neologues and others protested greatly, because in effect it gave them, it put them at a disadvantage. Eventually they also got recognized, but the fact that the Chasam Sofer was the original certifier of rabbis went a long way in establishing the supremacy of Orthodoxy in that area of the world. Also, in the yeshiva of Freshburg, the Chasam Sofer was the Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva together. And he writes here again, I mean, these are things that, it's a different society, it's hard for us to imagine, but he writes that on Shabbos in the yeshiva, for instance, the yeshiva would daven early in the morning, the yeshiva would daven 7 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos, and they would daven only until Kriyas HaTorah, in other words, till the end of Shacharis. Then after Shacharis in the yeshiva, they would serve Kiddush. He describes the Viennese pastries. Right, in Lithuania, they gave you, at best, an old piece of herring and a piece of dry bread. Here you're talking about, cream pastries. And then they would learn in the yeshiva for about an hour and a half. Or sometimes they would learn, till 2 o'clock, till 11 o'clock. Then 11 o'clock they came to the big shul, and they heard the Kriyas HaTorah in the big shul, and they heard Musaf. They davened together with the people in the shul Musaf. And most of the time, the big shul had famous chazonim, certain